It's Saturday morning and time for the Coaches Show, an in-depth look at high school sports with the coaches and players behind the headlines on News Radio KWOS 950 and 104.5. Here's Missouri Hall of Fame sportscaster Kevin Kelly.
Good morning and welcome to the Coaches Show. Week 7 of the high school football season in the books for the Hawaiian Crusaders, the Jefferson City Jays, the Blair Oaks Falcons. Of course, Capital City did not play last night due to COVID-19 concerns. They were scheduled to play at Sedalia Smith-Cotton last night at Atkins Stadium. First ever meeting on the football field between the Jefferson City Jays and the Hawaiian Crusaders. And the Crusaders win that one by a score of 28-0. At Blair Oaks, homecoming as the Falcons took on Hallsville. And Blair Oaks wins by a score of 55-16. Joining us is Hawaiian Crusaders head football coach again last night at Atkins Stadium, 28-0 victory for Hawaiian over Jefferson City. Congratulations, coach.
Thank you, Kevin.
First of all, I want to talk about the week heading into that football game. Was there a lot of nerves, a lot of energy going into the week from Monday to the game on Friday?
Well, I mean, we had a lot of good practices, but you know, as the week progressed, we tried to keep it as a normal week as we possibly could. But I could kind of tell as the week progressed that there were some nerves. You know, not among the whole team, but you know, the guys who were going to play. You could tell that. You know, we certainly were focused, and you know, everyone wants to play well. But you know, there was a lot riding on this game. You know, for all those kids, and you know, kids on both teams, and you know, when you have a game like that, you know, sometimes those nerves can impact performance. But, you know, I think for the most part it was a good week of practice. And we tried to keep things as normal as we possibly could, but sometimes that's hard to do.
You know, when the game clock ticked to zero, your players were pretty excited, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. They were. This is something, you know, ever since they announced the conference 2 years ago, this is something we've been talking about, you know, this historic matchup. So, you know, there's a lot of emotion from coaches and a lot of emotion from players and families that game was, you know, finally here, and you know, we were able to come out with a victory.
Tell me who got the game ball last night.
Well, we part of the week's things, you know, we talked a lot about, you know, that it was, you know, more than 60 years that this matchup had kind of been talked about, speculated, you know, score comparisons, and you know, for that long period of time, that's all we could really do, and you know, because we wouldn't play each other, and so we kind of dedicated this to all the coaches and players that never got an opportunity to play the game that we were going to get that opportunity to. So we gave the game ball to my dad, who was head coach for 33 years and represented more than half of those teams and coaches. So he was very honored to receive that game ball last night, and we were very happy to come out with a victory.
Coach, I was asked the question last night, did you ever think they would play? And my answer was, I really didn't know.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I always felt about that. I mean, obviously the last 2 years we knew it was coming because of the conference, you know, the school split and the conference, and we knew it was a possibility. But, you know, when you look at that particular game through, you know, the 1960s and 70s and 80s and 90s, and you know, it just never happened, and you know, I think it was doubtful in a lot of people's minds, and you know, everyone always asks that question, you know, why not? Because we play in every other sport, but you know, we got that opportunity last night, and I'm really, really proud of our football team.
How about your defense played outstanding last night?
They did. They played outstanding. You know, to hold the Jays, and Jeff City had been really running the ball well. You know, with a lot of the misdirection and spinner offense that they've been doing in the last three weeks, the three wins, they really were able to turn up some yards on the ground. I thought our run defense was outstanding last night. And I think we held them to two first downs in the first half. And, you know, our offense moved the ball, but our turnovers were very, very, very frustrating. But our defense was able to get that ball right back for us. You know, Coach Pitts and the defensive staff did a wonderful job in preparation. Our linebackers and really everyone defensively, but you know, with that kind of offense, there's a lot of things that can distract the eyes, and you know, we preached all week just about being disciplined, reading your keys, and they did that, and we're very proud of them.
You and I talked earlier in the week. You talked about the speed that Jefferson City had on offense, in particular David Bethune, Devin White, players like that, and I thought last night that your defense flowed very well to the football side to side. The second thing is they have great speed outside in Marshawn Dye and Devin White in the wide receivers, and I thought your secondary played exceptionally well.
Yeah, and you know, all 11 guys on defense did their job. And, you know, that's what happens, you know, when you have a good defensive performance and you're able to shut down that a team. You know, it's not just one guy defensively, because everyone's got to do their job, because everyone has a different job. You know, you got your defensive secondary reading their keys, making sure that we don't fall asleep on the run and get beat with the play-action pass. You've got your outside linebackers and defensive ends that are asked to set the edge, to stay home on reverses. You know, you got your interior guys that have to take care of the internal run, you know, dominate their gaps and the A gaps and the B gaps, and you got your linebackers have to read their keys and flow. And we played great team defense last night.
You know, you had 5 turnovers in the football game, but I didn't think, and I want to get your thoughts on this, I didn't think you were forcing issues or their players, it was a situation where the players were nervous. I just thought there were good plays made on defense.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we really haven't been playing much with the turnover bug. You know, we've done a really good job protecting the football this year. And so it was very uncharacteristic for us. But back to Jeff City, you know, with the first interception, you know, we thought we had that wheel route by the running back, and their safety broke on the ball. I mean, just it was fantastic, his break and his speed. And we knew that would be a possibility. They had such closing speed in the secondary that we were concerned about, you know, their ability to break on the ball, and they showed that early. And, you know, the fumbles, you know, some of those were just, you know, some were careless and some were just trying to get an extra yard or two. And, you know, sometimes you're struggling to try to get an extra yard or two and the defense is able to strip that ball away. So, you know, I said that was a frustrating part about the night. But, you know, overall, you know, to win that first rival game 28-0, you know, I think we were all happy at the end of the night with how the game went.
Yeah, we talk about the 5 turnovers, but it was a turnover that you get that I thought was a key in the first half of the football game. You're up by 7, and it's late, midway, I guess, in the second quarter, and you get a pick. Your linebacker, Isaac Lopez, steps in. He intercepts the ball. You get the ball back at the Jays' 33-yard line, and then you score with 5:56 left to go to take a 2-touchdown lead into the locker room at the half.
Yeah, that was big, especially with them getting the ball coming out second half. We knew we needed to get a stop, get a turnover, and that turnover gave us a short field, which enabled us to, you know, keep the ball on the ground. Not a lot of big plays from us last night, but, you know, just effective. I mean, I think we had 370 yards of offense, but it was a lot, just little pieces at a time. You know, I thought Jeff City's defensive scheme was very good, and they took away what, you know, we had been doing to other teams, and we really had, you know, showed us a defense and not played all year, some of the defensive schemes and how they were stemming, you know, and how they were playing their coverage in the back end. It was really something, I guess I'd say, we were not prepared for, but I thought we made good in-game adjustments, and we were able to churn out enough yards, and that touchdown in the second quarter was big to go up, because they were getting the ball coming back in the second half, to make it to a 2-possession game. And then we were able to get 2 more scores in the fourth quarter, as the O-line kind of take that game over late in the game.
I thought your offensive line played very well last night. You ran between the tackles.
We did. But, you know, because how they were playing their perimeter defense, it kind of forced us to go inside. And, you know, we just really started running just some what we call base, just a really base block play. And that last touchdown that Alex Clement scored, that's all it was man-on-man blocking and hand the ball, go right behind the center, and we got great push, and he was able to make one jump cut, and it opened up for him, and we were able to take that one in the house. But yeah, just zones and bases and trap schemes and things of that nature, we really relied on that in the second half to move the football.
You know, end of the third quarter, toward the end of the third quarter, it's still just a 2-touchdown ball game as you were leading 14-0, but you take a drive, and you start from your own 17-yard line. The drive starts late in the third quarter, culminates with a touchdown with about 9:22 left to go in the ball game. It ends up being a 13-play drive, and you take 6 minutes and 43 seconds off the clock.
That was a very important drive for us offensively. You know, because of the turnovers, there was a little frustration on the offensive side, and, you know, just, we just talked and we pulled all the guys together before that drive, and everyone knew the importance of that drive to seal that game. And, you know, we really felt to get to a three-score game, you know, midway through the fourth quarter, this was a game, the way our defense was playing, that we were going to put this game away. But we needed to have that kind of, you know, statement drive. And, you know, we had a few short passes, but for the most part, that was all on the ground. And, you know, just putting the game on the backs of our offensive linemen, and they did a great job. And, you know, our running backs ran well, and, you know, that, you know, sometimes you score quickly, and that's great. And, you know, sometimes you can churn out, you know, 16 play drive, and, you know, that's what we needed at that point in the ballgame.
This is the first year of the conference, and you clinch at least a tie for the conference title with the win last night. You can win it outright Friday night when you take on Sedalia Smith Cotton.
Yeah, and that, you know, that's certainly one of the goals that we have set for this football team at the start of the season with the conference title, and we'll have Sedalia come in town for our last conference game, and you know we'll be focused, we'll be ready, and hopefully come out with a victory and win this conference. It's been 20 years. We were talking about it last night. I think the last time we won a conference, because we spent so long outside of a conference, probably was Coach Pitts' senior year back in 1999, when we were still in the NCMC. That, I think, that was the last time that we were able to win a conference title. So this will be a very focused week of preparation, and you know, achieve goal one of this year, and at the conference title.
What's the number one thing that you took away from last night's game?
Well, you know, just the way our defense played, you know, and just the grit and determination of a football team that has big goals and dreams and aspirations, and you know, the way we pulled together, the way we supported each other, even during, you know, some of those times where we were getting frustrated, there was a lot of love and support on the sidelines from the coaches and the players, and just grinding through it. And, you know, what I'm always going to remember is just the absolute joy that the kids felt with that game last night. And, we, you know, we had a lot of fun. We stayed on the field. I told them we're going to savor this one. And it's a very memorable night.
Coach, thanks for being with us this morning, and good luck on Friday night when you take on the Tigers from Sedalia Smith Cotton.
Thank you, Kevin.
Elias Crusaders head football coach Chris Hinch is back with more after the break. It's the Coaches Show on KWOS.
The cool weather brings with it some good things. Jackets, colorful leaves, no longer having to leave the car windows cracked, and those crisp days when you can smell wood burning somewhere in the distance. But it can also bring the flu. Protect yourself and those around you by getting your flu shot at Roberts Drugstore in Jefferson City, so you can enjoy the coming of the cool season the way it was meant to be enjoyed. Flu-free. That's the Roberts Drugstore difference. RobertsDrugstoreRx.com.
Get ready for SEC football. Saturdays in Columbia, Missouri will look different than ever before. Your support during this time is needed now more than ever. A Southeastern Conference-only schedule. It's the cream of the crop. It's SEC football at Faurot Field. To support your Tigers, contact the Tiger Scholarship Fund. Call 1-800-CAT-PAWS or visit tsfmizzou.com. M-I-Z.
Since starting with Zimmer, I feel that we've seen a very steady business growth, and most of that started after we started our online show. People absolutely love hearing about what it is that we do. Zimmer has allowed us to reach audiences we wouldn't have otherwise been able to reach with normal marketing. They know all the ins and outs of marketing and how to reach your target audience. This is Dr. Gruender with Liberty Family Medicine.
When you're ready to grow your business, contact Zimmer Communications at ZimmerCommunications.com.
If you're curious about who may be out there but don't want to jump into anything right away, then take a fun step and just take a look at Our Time. Our Time is the number one dating site for singles over 50. It's easy to use and can help you find a partner to share in a new activity you've been wanting to try. Take a walk or just meet someone new. Check it out. Start for free today. Go to ourtime.com. That's ourtime.com. Start for free at ourtime.com.
Back to work at that job, the one you realized isn't for you? Well, that's if you're lucky, right? Make your move. You can start a new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months from the comfort of your own home, even if you have zero computer experience. Take control of your future now. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Live online classes meet just twice a week. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Save now on compact and utility tractors during the Massey Ferguson sales event at Tompkins Implement. Designed with performance in mind, these versatile tractors are made to boost your productivity and outperform the competition. And now you'll get 0% financing for up to 84 months on Massey Ferguson compact and utility tractors. Don't forget to ask about their 10-year warranty, too, but hurry. This offer ends soon. Visit Tompkins Implement, Highway 52 West in Eldon, or go to TompkinsImplement.com.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back to the Coaches Show. We are joined now by Falcons head football coach Ted LePage. Last night, homecoming victory at the Falcon Athletic Complex for Blair Oaks as they beat Hallsville in Tri-County Conference play 55-16. Coach, congratulations.
Thanks, Kevin.
Always good to win homecoming, isn't it?
It is. It's a great way to start off the homecoming festivities for the weekend. For the, you know, your alumni's there. Everybody's in the stands. Everybody's excited to see. And that's the process, the way it starts, and then you turn around and hopefully have a safe rest of the weekend. That's what we told the young men last night, that this is only the start, but you need to have a good, smart rest of your weekend now.
Again, last night you kick off to start the game, and your defense sets the tone early, and you get your opponent back on their heels.
It was a great opportunity for us. We got the win. The wind actually shifted last night and was blowing from the south, which our field's at south to north, so we kicked from our south end zone to north, got a great kick, pinned them back deep, went three and out, turned around. They punted from a little quarterback set, didn't get a very good punt off, and we went two plays and scored. And then it just seemed kind of steamroll from there. It really was a great opportunity for us to put the hammer down, and we did in the first quarter. I was really excited about our attention to detail on all three facets of the game. Thought coach had a great preparation week with the players. The players went out and executed. And one thing you worry about homecoming is what happens in that first quarter, because a lot of times their minds aren't on the particular game itself. But last night it was, and we got a great start. And it was the second half that wasn't as exciting, but the first half was a really good game for us.
Beat a pretty good Hallsville team last night, didn't you?
You know, that's one thing that I was really concerned with coming in during homecoming festivities. After it was over at about 2:30, 3 o'clock, Mr. Feltner, AD, and I were sitting down at the stadium, and I usually watch a game by myself just in its entirety when I'm getting ready to play an opponent, just to see the game they played the week before. And I watched them against Osage. Gosh, their running back had 400 yards rushing and their quarterback had 200. He and I were looking at each other going, oh my gosh. And I thought, you know, when we came out and really stayed in our lanes and our discipline to their option really frustrated them. And you can see their players in the first quarter really disappointed, and nothing was working because we took the first threat, we took the second threat, and we took the third threat. And then when you do that against Hallsville, they have to rely on something else. That's not something they want to do. They want to beat you with their option game. And not too many people have done that to them. They are really a really potent offense.
You talked about it earlier, but you had a huge first quarter in the football game last night. You scored on the ground, you scored through the air, and you get a pick six from Kobe Marble.
Really great break by Kobe. Kobe has really come on for us on the defensive side of the ball. Last year, he didn't play defense very much. We felt like with a great offseason, he'd be able to take over that corner position and really have a good year, as he's got just tremendous speed. Last night, they threw a little stop route in front of him, and it's something that Coach Lyndon Brink has been working day in and day out with him. Just had his eyes on everything it needed to be, transitioned his weight coming out of his back pedal, and then exploded into the cut and undercut the route, caught it and put it in the end zone. That kind of just ended the night for Hallsville. I really have a lot of respect for Justin Conyers and all their team, but that was all of a sudden it went from 13 now to 20 to nothing, and we were like 9 minutes into the first quarter. So that really is a momentum changer that you can't coach out of, you can't play out of. That's really, really tough in high school football when you get down 20 to nothing from a pick six. But that was a great break by Kobe.
And that wasn't the only interception you got last night, was it?
No, we had two more, and Kobe had another one. really broke on the ball well last night. We felt like if we could get them in the passing situations, that's something that would really play into our favor. And when you get a team that runs the option behind the chains, even though it's a famine feast, they do have to take their shots and their opportunities. But when they get in front of the chains with the option and you're worried about stopping the option, then they have to turn around and they can run their play action game, you get in trouble. So we really did a good job of setting the first down, of getting them behind the chains. I thought Coach Butler, Coach Terpstra, Coach Ferg, and Coach Aileywine, Coach Lindbrink did a great job with that game plan, and we really took some opportunities and some really disciplined chances last night early in the chains and got them behind the chains, and that allowed us to have really good opportunities to intercept some passes.
Quarterback Dylan Hare had a 5-touchdown night last night, threw for 3 touchdowns, ran for 2 more. I have him with 28 touchdowns in 7 games.
Yeah, he has really picked up his game. Coach Briggs has really done a phenomenal job with that young man. And he was speaking to me last night after the game, Coach Briggs was, and said he's taken his game to a different level now. He just really looked like he was in control of the offense. Had one miscue. I think that was more of a route ran wrong where we had an interception. But outside of that, we have, after St. Genevieve Valley, we did a little research on ourselves, and we felt like we had to get back to more of our option game. So we've designed some runs in our option game for Dylan where he doesn't have to think so much. And you say, make that sound so surgical. It's not. There's a lot of decisions quarterbacks got to make so quickly, and we're making it, letting him have a one decision process and then take off and run. And when he takes off and runs, he's so dynamic. But you got to scheme it to get him loose. And last night, Coach Briggs, Coach Cook did an unbelievable job of scheming how to get him loose. And when he gets on the edge, whew, he's fun to watch.
All right, going into week 8 of the high school football season, you are averaging 50 points a game on offense, giving up just 11 on defense.
Well, we need to get, I hate to say, a little bit better on that. We had 1 week where we scored 28 against Valley. We left 28 points on the field. So there's some drives last night we didn't finish. There were some things we didn't do offensively and defensively. I felt like we got lax in the second quarter and in the fourth quarter. We really need to finish the game. At halftime, I told our players, and I just asked them, I said, what is the name of the game we play? And like football, and I said, you play football no matter if it's 0-0 or if it's 56-0. Don't let up. Don't cruise. That's not the way we do it. You got to be a more disciplined football team, because when you get in a game like St. Genevieve Valley, you can't come out of that. You're so used to letting up, and we're not going to let up, and I'm not going to allow that to happen today. We're going to watch film, get better, and move forward for next week, because we got a big opponent coming in next week.
Let's talk about that. You will go to Ashland to take on Southern Boone, both undefeated in conference play. Southern Boone is playing in Kansas this afternoon. Right now, the Eagles are 4-1 on the season. Their only loss to undefeated Odessa in week 1, 32-20. What about the Eagles?
The Eagles have a quarterback and receiver combination that is probably as good as they've had. Their quarterback really is a big, tall young man, very athletic basketball kid also, but he can really spin it. They get it out to a kid by the name of Dapkus, and Dapkus is a track guy, but he's a track guy, but he's a football player. He does a lot of screens. They try to just get the ball to him and let him run. But then as soon as you come up and try to press him, he can run past you and throw it over the top. They also have a good running game, big offensive line. They don't turn the ball over. They don't have penalties. They don't beat themselves. They just play good, fundamental football. And in high school football, you're going to win a lot more games than you lose, and that's an opportunity for them to be in every game. So it's going to be a tight football game. We're really going to have a good week of practice, and our players are going to have their thinking caps on this week, because we got to transition from option game now to a throwing game.
Coach, good luck on Friday night. Thanks for being with us this morning on the Coach's Show.
Thank you, Kevin.
Blair Oaks Falcons head football coach Ted LaPage. Again, last night they beat Hallsville in a homecoming victory at the Falcon Athletic Complex, 55-16. And again, last night at Atkins Stadium, it was Elias 28, the Jefferson City Jays nothing. Back with more after the break.
Rush.
So what Beigel is now saying,
I'm not banning fracking.
Is like me telling you that I've never been a conservative.
Let me say that again.
All right.
No more fracking.
Stop the tape. What would you do if I opened a program that I've never been a conservative? What are you people talking about?
You'd think I'd lost my mind.
Rush Limbaugh, today at 11.
Well, Well, no. Actually, no, you would wonder what brilliant bit is Rush attempting to pull off now.
They know.
On 104.5.
They know.
News Radio 950 KWOS.
I get it, Dad. Game day's a big day for you. Your favorite team, a bunch of snacks, and the whole afternoon to yell at the TV. So, Dad, let's make a deal. I'll leave you alone so you can check your fantasy team if you make an appointment at the Missouri Heart Center. Just imagine them as your other favorite team, ready to help you score big when it comes to the health of your heart. Sounds like a touchdown to me. Woo! Comprehensive cardiovascular care in the heart of Missouri. MoHeartCenter.com.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back. We are joined now by Jefferson City Jays head football coach Scott Bailey. Last night at Atkins Stadium, Helias over Jefferson City by a score up 28-0. First of all, coach, you take a look at your defensive effort last night. I thought they played very well.
Yeah, the biggest problem with our defense was they were on the field all night because our offense couldn't move the football. After the game, I told them I was proud of them. They played three-fourths of that football game, and takes more energy to react to a play playing defense than it does to create the play playing offense. And our defense was out there for a long time reacting to a lot of what Hollis was doing. Played a great effort, got a lot of turns, a lot of takeaways, and gave our offense multiple opportunities. We didn't do anything with it.
You know, and I think your secondary played very well last night. You get a couple of interceptions. Darrell Jones gets a pick, as does Isaac Jones. But, you know, they've got some very good wide receivers in Cole Stumpy and Drew Higgins and Damon Johans, and they like to filter out the running backs in Alex Clement and Ryan Clark out of the backfield on swing passes. I thought your secondary played very well last night.
Secondary's played really well all season. I don't know how many interceptions we have on the year, but got to be getting close to a dozen in seven games. And seems like every week they come up with that big turnover, and they're not giving up too many long touchdowns. Secondary's played really well this year so far.
You know, and I think overall, as you take a look at the season heading into Week 8, as you will take on Battle at Atkins Stadium next Friday night, I think as you take a look at each week, I think your team continues to progress and get and improve each week. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that in about every area, but with our offense. I thought our offense took a step back this week, and, you know, when you play good teams, maybe that's what happens. You get exposed a little bit, so I don't believe our defense took a step back this week. I think our defense took a big step forward, played really well against a good team. You sit here and do a radio interview on Saturday morning after the game, and I ain't gonna lie to you, I'm still on edge a little bit about it, so I haven't kind of had a chance to process all of it. But
mm-hmm.
when you sit here and say, you know, maybe that offense took a step back, you know, truer statement might be maybe that defense we were playing against was just really good. And so don't want to discredit what Helias has on that defensive side of the ball. Maybe instead of talking about our offense taking a step backwards, I should be talking about the defense that Helias has being a really, really good defense.
Yeah, in the first half hour, we had Chris Inches on, the head football coach of the Helias Crusaders, and we talked about it, and both thought that their defense played outstanding game last night against you.
Well, you don't have to look very far down the stat sheet to know that happened.
You know, you take a look at the game, and about 6 minutes left to go in the second quarter. It's a one-touchdown game at 7-0, and a key, not the biggest key of the whole game, but a key definitely in the game was the interception that they get as Isaac Lopez, the linebacker, steps in and intercepts a pass and gives them the ball at your 33-yard line, and they go in to score and end up being up 14-0 at the half. That was a key point in the ball game, at least in the first half.
The key was the play before that. That interception wasn't the key. The key was the play before that when we honestly were hunting and searching for whatever we can find to try to move the ball. We thought we had a speed advantage if we could get some of our fast guys into space, and we do. We get a receiver deep behind everybody, and we don't get the ball to him because we get a procedure penalty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every single football coach in America will tell you, you take a penalty for being aggressive. You take a holding penalty because you're fighting like crazy to try to make a block or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be happy about it, but you're going to understand that the kid's doing, he's given a great effort to try to make a play and help your offense. You take a procedure penalty, that's just a mental thing. That, to me, that in week seven, that play right there, you know, if, you know, that terrible word, if you don't take the procedure penalty and hit the pass play, might be 7-7 at halftime. And you know, we're still going to have to figure out how to run the ball and get some first downs against that defense going into the second half. But it sure would have looked different going in tied up instead of down 14.
You come out in the second half, you get the ball first and put together your best drive of the night, taking it from your own 25-yard line, marching all the way down the field, and you had the ball for about 6 minutes of the third quarter, unfortunately not able to convert on the field goal attempt from 29 yards out.
Yeah. Oh, Jacob came in, and as a freshman in our program, he's an outstanding young man. And, you know, probably the biggest positive I can say about that is the next time he steps on the field to hit one of those field goals, he's probably going to knock it dead down the middle. So he's a great young man in our football program, and he's got a bright future in this place. And that experience there in a big game, you know, trying to hit that field goal to, you know, give us a spark and maybe help us get back into the game will do nothing but help him down the road.
You know, on Friday night, you will be at home at Atkins Stadium, and I know you probably haven't had a chance to look too much at Columbia Battle, but this is a big district game, isn't it?
Huge for us. You know, being in a 16 district, the 1 and 2 seeds are gonna get that bye week. And for us, you know, to have a chance at being in that 1 or 2 spot, you're gonna have to win out. And that starts with Battle Friday. And, you know, some coaches don't like a bye week. They like routine and they want to do it the same each week. And I just know that we started playing football sometime back in the summer, and that's a lot of hits and a lot of contact. And a bye week late in the season, you know, even though you get out of routine for a week, might be something that helps you heal up a little bit and maybe play in a higher gear going into that second round district game. So for us to have a chance to hit that bye week in the first round of districts, we got to win out, and that starts with Battle.
Coach, we look forward to the game on Friday night. Our pregame show will start at 6:30, play-by-play at 7 o'clock as you will take on Columbia Battle. Thanks for the visit this morning, and we'll see you next week.
All right, thank you.
Jefferson City Jays head football coach Scott Bailey. There's two real big district games coming up in the next 2 weeks. As I mentioned, Jefferson City is at home against Columbia Battle in week 8, which is next week. And then in week 9, the Camdenton Lakers will meet the Rolla Bulldogs. There was some shifting that went around last night as far as the district is concerned after the football games. And of course, Battle still has to play today. They've got an afternoon game against Sedalia Smith Cotton. But in the district that the Jays are in before last night's game, Washington was first, Battle was second, Jefferson City was third, Camdenton was fourth, Rolla was fifth, and Capital City is sixth. After games last night, this morning on the website of the Missouri State High School Activities Association, Washington is still in the number one spot, Columbia Battle is in number two, but Rolla has moved from number five to number three. The Jays have dropped to number four. Camdenton is fifth. Capital City is sixth. We're back with more after the break. It's the Coach's Show on KWOS.
What is the best thing about Hawthorne Bank?
You're more than just a number or a bank account.
And they care. Having a banker that knows you, that knows your business, I mean, you can't even put a price on that.
They are genuinely interested in the community. It made me feel like I was going to have a partner in my business and not somebody that was just going to sit there and crunch the numbers.
This has just been an answer to prayer to be a part of this family, the Hawthorne Bank family.
Equal housing lender, member FDIC, Hawthorne Bank.
From acclaimed filmmaker Dinesh D'Souza,
who brought you Obama's America,
comes his most important film yet. Trump Card. America is at a crossroads. The Democratic Party's socialist agenda, led by Joe Biden,
is threatening to take our freedoms away.
In Trump Card, Dinesh digs deep to uncover why the threat of socialism is real, what's at stake if we let them win, and how we stop it. Trump Card, now on demand.
Rated PG-13.
Are you a survivor of sexual abuse while in the Boy Scouts? You may be entitled to compensation, but your time to file a claim is limited. Call 800-902-8881. As a result of thousands of victims filing sexual abuse claims, the Boy Scouts have filed for bankruptcy protection, and the bankruptcy court has set November 16, 2020 as the deadline for abuse survivors to file a claim. Call 800-902-8881. That's 800-902-8881 for more information. Your call is completely anonymous. Go to officialbsaclaims.com. Sponsored by Mark J. Byrne & Partners, LLP.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back to the Coaches Show. Taking a look at some scores from Week 7 of the high school football season. It was St. Francis Borgia over St. Dominic last night by a score of 30-9. Ozark over Neosho, 31-7. Luther North beat Trinity up in St. Louis. The final score was 34-7. A one-point victory for the Mexico Bulldogs against the Kirksville Tigers. Final score 22-21. Boonville over Versailles, 54-6. Webb City shut out Nixa. The final was 28-0. California won again, and California is playing very well this season. They are now, I believe, 5-1 or 6-1 on the season. We'll double check that before the show's over with, because they are in the same district with the Blair Oaks Falcons. And after the win last night, they are 6-1 on the season. The California Pintos winning over Eldon by a score of 59-13. And joining us now is Helias Lady Crusaders head softball coach Chris Wyrick. And coach, first of all, a big tournament as far as how many games you're going to get in a 2-day span. Three games yesterday, all three victories down in Rolla. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it. It's a good tournament. We get five games in 2 days, and it's a good test right before districts for us.
First game, you beat Joplin 9-1, 2-1 victory over Timberland when you score late in the ballgame to get the victory. And then you beat Waynesville by a score of 20-0. And you've won 9 of your last 10 games, haven't you?
We have. We're playing pretty good softball right now. Still trying to shore some things up before next week's district tournament rolls around, but we're feeling really good right now.
It was a big week for you. On Monday, a big win over the Capital City Lady Cavaliers, because they had beaten you last month by a score of 8-5. You come back and win by a score of 7-0. And then you took on a defending state champion in Sherwood and won that one by a score of 5-0.
It was a good week. Yeah. We avenged an earlier loss to Capital City. You know, Alexa Raymeyer threw a perfect game. She was really on that night. She was pounding the strike zone with every pitch she had, and she really threw well. And then, you know, and then Wednesday we beat Sherwood. You know, their pitcher's going to Arizona State, which was really, really a good win for us. You know, she threw hard. She threw everything she threw for a strike, and it was hard. So we were really proud of that victory.
Believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe with the wins yesterday, you were 19-6 on the season?
We are. Yeah, that gave us 19 wins, so.
You know, the gold standard is the 20-win season. You've got an opportunity with two games today to get number 20.
We do. We do. And that's something we talked about yesterday. That was one of our goals for the year. And hopefully we can pull out at least one victory today. We got two tough opponents. We have Ozark, and then I'm not sure who is in the other half of the winner's bracket. But Ozark's playing really well right now. They could really hit the softball, so we're going to be tested.
Ozark at noon in Rolla, and then either the third place game at 2 o'clock or the championship game at 4 o'clock. You take a look at some of the numbers that I ran from last night. Coming into the games today, averaging just under 6 runs a game and giving up less than 2.5 a game.
Yeah, our pitching staff has really done a great job this year. They've kept us in every game. You know, we've got three girls that are really capable: Lex Raymeyer, Molly Berkey, and Mallory Rogers. They've done a great job all year. So, you know, when the pitchers keep you in the game and give you a chance to win, they'll just scratch across 3 or 4 runs and you have a chance to win.
Yeah, it's already going to be district play next week, isn't it?
It is. It is. Softball's a quick season. You know, it's about a month and a half, almost 2 months long if you go deep in the playoffs. So everything comes at you pretty fast. So I think we're ready to go.
And you've moved up a class this year. You're in Class 5. You're the number one seed, by the way, next week's district at Sedalia Smith Cotton.
Yeah, it's a tough district. I think anybody could win it. You know, I know we're the number one seed, but you know, we play the winner of Ray Peck and Jeff City, and both those teams are playing really well right now. So, I think we got the tougher side of the bracket. But that's just the way it goes in the playoff time, and everybody's good. And yeah, we got bumped up to Class 5. You know, they added a class in softball this year, and with our enrollment, we were actually going to be in the bottom of Class 4. I think we were like one of the last two schools in Class 4. And with the new competitive balance, deal. I'll just leave it at that. We get bumped up to class five with the amount of points that we accrued over the last 6 years. So, you know, it's a challenge for us, but we're ready to go.
All right, it will be at Sedalia Smith-Cotton. You'll open up against them on Tuesday, and you beat them in September 6-0.
We did. We had a good game. Alexa threw that game. I think she gave up maybe one hit, and then Molly came in and gave up one hit. So they only had two hits against our pitching staff, and they threw some girls that really changed speeds on us that day. So we only scored six runs. So it's going to be a test for us. You know, anything could happen in districts.
Number two seed is Lee Summit West. Capital City is the number three seed. Raymore Peculiar, the number four seed. We talked about that you've won 9 of your last 10 games. And you take a look at your schedule, and you lost the first two games of the season, and then you won 9 of the next 10 games.
Yeah, we started off a little rough. You know, our first two opponents, you know, Father Tolton's really good. You know, mm-hmm. They have Paige Bedsworth pitching. She's a really good pitcher. And then we played Fatima, which is traditionally a good softball program. So, you know, we started out a little slow, but we got with it and started playing some better softball. And I think our schedule really prepares us for a district play, no matter what class we're in.
As we mentioned, two games today. What do you like most about your team right now?
We're being competitive. I mean, we're having competitive at bats. You know, we're competitive in a circle. We're being aggressive on the bases and giving ourselves a chance to win. So, I mean, if you're the aggressor, more often than not, you're going to win the game.
Two games, as we mentioned, at Rolla today. You'll take on Ozark at noon. Third place game is at 2. Championship game is at 4 o'clock. Coach, I know you're busy. Appreciate your time this morning, and good luck.
No problem, Kevin. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Helias, Lady Crusaders, head softball coach Chris Weirich again. Rolla yesterday in the Invitational, they beat Joplin 9-1, beat Timberland 2-1, and then beat Waynesville by a score of 20-0. They've got Ozark today at noon, and either the third place game at 2 o'clock or the championship game at 4 o'clock. Going into softball action today for the Lady Crusaders, they are 19-6 on the season. Next week starts districts. They're the number one seed at Sedalia Smith-Cotton. Back with more after the break. The Coaches Show on KWOS.
The old days were simpler, but convenience was still being invented and variety was still in its infancy. Nowadays, I can go right over to Speedy B's and order a mushroom and Swiss burger. It'll be ready after I'm done pumping gas. Or pizza made to order with any toppings I want at no extra charge. A sausage, egg, and cheese Nordic waffle for breakfast. Heck, I can even get gooey butter cake ice cream. I do miss simpler times, but if I went back, I'd miss Speedy B's. Fresh burgers, cold beer, clean bathrooms.
When it's time to replenish your landscaping mulch, decorative rock, pool sand, screen topsoil, or driveway rock, your wallet and your back both cringe at the idea of buying and moving multiple bags of the stuff. But both will breathe a sigh of relief when you get it in bulk by the truckload from Capital Sand Company. Delivered anywhere in JC for just $50, saving time, money, and your back. On Facebook and at CapitalSandCompany.com.
Capital Sand Company just makes sense.
Hi, I'm Callie Crimmel, and I work at Zimmer Communications. I've never worked for a company that has such a detailed training process. We give you the tools and stepping stones to succeed and really make it in the company. Work hard, play hard. You got to be determined. You got to be able to put in those extra hours in the beginning to succeed. Take that extra step. If you're just going to do the bare minimum, you're not going to be as successful as you can be.
If you think you're up for the challenge, apply now at ZimmerCommunications.com.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back. We are joined now by Blair Oaks Lady Falcons head softball coach Sharon Bush-Jost, and district will be next week as well for the Lady Falcons at Versailles. Before we go to that part of our interview, I want to step back for just a second. Is this the 25th year of coaching for you?
I think it is, Kevin.
You like it, don't you?
I like it. 25 years of it, and every year I get excited every year about it.
You know, you take a look at a win earlier in the week over Eldon, and it gives you your 20th win of the season. And I always say the gold standard as far as a highly successful season is if you get to that 20-win mark in softball, and you've done it again this year.
You know, and I agree with you. And you know, I'm just fortunate and grateful that we played 26 games this season, to be honest with you, to start with. And then to get that 20th win this last week, there's something about that does make you feel like it's been a success.
You know, it's the ninth straight year that you've won at least 20 softball games. That's not easy to do. It's not easy to do it one year, to do 9 in a row.
But it's not, and I think, you know, that's something I have to remind the players, you know, not to take for granted, because it is difficult to get to that. To get to that number one, you just, I mean, there has to be a lot of things that work. For one, the weather, you have to get the games in, and then, and just in general, you have to be playing well to get 20 wins in a season.
Boy, and you play a tough schedule. I looked at it again last night, and the teams that you've lost to winning 20, 18, 17 games, it's a tough schedule.
It is, but that's what you have to do, you know, and those are the teams that, you know, those are the teams that you want to beat as well, and that kind of, you know, identifies you as a team. And we've had some good wins, but, you know, those are some tough teams that we played and didn't get the win, but still, it's a good season, and those are good games to have on the schedule.
You had a player throw a perfect game. Tell me about that.
You know, those are special, and it was, I know it was a five-inning game, but there's just so many things and so many, you know, a complete team that assist in that, I guess you might say. The one ball that was put in play, it was a pretty darn good catch made by our left fielder, Matty Besson, on that one. And then it just takes a catcher calling a good game and a pitcher on her game. I think they're all strikeouts with the exception of that one ball put in play. So that's a, you know, for a pitcher, that's kind of a pinnacle for them as far as a perfect game.
Well, tell me about the pitcher, because I think she has over 100 strikeouts on the season now, doesn't she?
No, she does, and we have a unique situation in that Alexis Finley is who threw the perfect game, and she's a senior, and we have her and Andy Siebenek. And as we talk to the two pitchers all season, you know, some people ask me, who's your number one? And I said, we have two number ones. And I said, you know, we have two number ones that I said, I believe we can coexist with two number ones. We did it back in 09, the only year that we won a state title, we had two number one pitchers. So if you look at the numbers of Alexis Finley and Andy Siebenek, they're just very, very similar. You know, I think at one point before this last game we played, they both had over 100 strikeouts, you know, and both throwing about the same number of innings. And they're both quality, and we feel very confident with either one.
You end up 6-1 in the conference and will share at least a tie for the conference championship. Someone told me earlier in the week that that's like 24 now for you.
Yeah, I know we're, you know, on a good roll with the conference, and I I'm proud of our conference, as I feel like it's, you know, it's grown and it's gotten tougher. So those conference championships, those two we take pride in, and we're kind of waiting out. There's still some games left for a couple conference schools, and we'll see how things play out, whether we share the conference title or whether we win it outright. So
we'll take a look at a couple of numbers that I ran last night. You've scored 197 runs this year. That comes out to, I think, 7.5 runs a game.
Well, you know, to start the season, that was one thing when I interviewed with Greg Jackson, and I, you know, he said, what are you, one of the things you're most excited about this season? And I said, it was to see kind of where our offense goes and, you know, how many runs we can put on the board, because just felt like the players we had, we had just a lot of girls who their strength is hitting the ball. And that's kind of played out this season. We have been able to put runs on the board. So, but, you know, it's sometimes two runs on a board is what you're looking for, as these games are going to get tougher and tougher now. So it may not be the 6, 7, 8, or 10 runs a game, but rather just scrapping out and getting one, two, or three runs to win a game.
You know, you've played 26 games during the regular season, have only been shut out, I believe, twice all season long, and in 10 games you scored at least 10 or more runs in the contest.
You know, and those are the ones where I think any team will tell you, you know, we've got Ellie Cleethermas leading it off for us, and when she gets it going, and if she gets it going, then we just follow. And then if she's off a little bit, then we have Bailey Rissmiller, who's been our number two batter all season, who has just been, you know, lights out offensively for us and just getting the job done. And then you just, you know, that's one thing, you know, you never know if that lineup you throw out there at the beginning of the season is going to kind of stick. And other than the exception of maybe one game in a tournament in Warrensburg, it kind of changed it up, but went right back to the one I started with that seems to be our strongest offensive lineup.
Yeah, and you're only giving up about two runs a game, so you're getting it done on the mound, aren't you?
We are, and we've got, those, like I said, Andy and Alexis. I mean, they both, you know, they both bring a different type of pitch. Alexis has tremendous spin on the ball and has tremendous movement. And then mixed in with the changeup that we're trying to, you know, encourage her to throw a lot. And then Andy Sivanek is, you know, she too has movement on the pitch and she's got a very good changeup when that's on.
Districts are in Versailles next week. You will open up against Eldon, I believe, on Wednesday at 5 o'clock. Semifinals are on Thursday. District title game is on Saturday. California, the number one seed. You are the number two seed, and you're ranked in the latest poll, number three in Class 3.
You know, and that's, as far as our district seed, that's, you know, that's where we should be. When you look at trying to rank or rank teams in a district and you're looking head-to-head and the team beats you, they deservedly so, or the number one team, so... So, you know, they can have the target on their back, and we'll just play the number two seed and hopefully get to that championship game on Saturday.
This will be a good district, won't it?
It will be. First time in a long time. It's been eight team district. So, you know, everybody's playing the same number of games, and there's a couple unknown teams to the district for us in Clinton and Nevada. So, you know, that adds a little, just something different to it. Otherwise, you know, there's conference teams in our district. There's Fatima who's in our district. So it'll be a tough one.
Coach, appreciate the visit this morning. Good luck next week in Versailles as you will open district play on Wednesday against Eldon at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for having me, Kevin.
All right, Blair Oaks Lady Falcons head softball coach Sharon Bushjost. Again, they will go into district play with a mark of 20-6 on the season. In the latest polls we mentioned, they are ranked third in the state in Class 3. Again, Wednesday opens up district at Versailles. They'll take on Eldon at 5 p.m. The semifinals are on Thursday. The district title game is on Saturday. Two Tri-County Conference teams are the number one and two seeds in the district. California checking in at the number one spot. The Blair Oaks Lady Falcons are number two. Friday night will be at Atkins Stadium as the Jefferson City Jays meet the Battle Spartans, 6:30 with their pregame show, 7 o'clock with the play-by-play. Hope you'll join us then. We'll see you next week on the Coaches Show.
News Radio 950, KWOS, and on FM at 104.5, KWOS.